Hey everyone. While Taylor's on a break from the Eras Tour and we are anxiously awaiting the release of the Tortured Poets Department, we thought it'd be fun to do a Get to Know Us episode. We posted the full podcast to our YouTube channel at It Hits Diff Pod, so head over there and leave your answers to these questions in the comments so that we can get to know you too. Enjoy!
For some unknown reason, I had an aversion to her. I was like, I don't really like her.
Welcome back to It's Different, a Taylor Swift podcast. I'm Molly.
I'm Ryan.
Today we are going to do a Get to Know Us segment. Thank you to Ellie, All Too Swift, for tagging us in this challenge, this Swifty challenge. So we have a couple of questions that we're going to go through that Ellie wanted us to answer. And of course, if you're watching this, put your answers to these questions in the comments too.
All right, to start us off, what was your first impression of Taylor Swift?
Okay, this is hard, but I don't really think I had a first impression. I heard her on the radio and I liked her radio songs, and that was kind of that at first. Growing up and being in high school, and like for me from 06 to 2010, Taylor's music started to become very popular then. I'm from West Virginia, big country town, but I wasn't really a country girl. So like I said, I would hear her most popular songs on the radio and I definitely jammed to them, like Love Story and You Belong With Me. I remember really liking those in high school, but I didn't go down like the Swifty rabbit hole. I wish that I did. I wish that I could go back now and say that I was an OG stan. My best friend from high school, she actually got to see Taylor in our hometown because she was a country girl then, and like she went to her shows, and I am so jealous. I wish I could go back and like change that course of my history, but I can't. What about you?
I mean, I liked her music, but for some unknown reason I had an aversion to her, and you know, just like the narrative created, I was like, I don't really like her very much. You talking about the time span of that like really made me think. I think I just didn't like her back then because I couldn't relate. My high school years were kind of untraditional, is a PG way to say. And here's Taylor, this, you know, clean, squeaky, pop girly or pre-pop country, soon to be pop. And I was like, no, I can't relate to you at all. Your music's a vibe, but I just have an aversion because I'm just emo and in my feelings. And she wasn't really there yet. But then, you know, 1989 came along and it all's been history from there. And then I look back and it's like, you know, the SNL skit of Swiftamine is literally what happened to me. It's like when you realize you had no real reason to dislike her in the first place. It's just the media made you feel like that's the side you needed to take. And then you're like, wait, what's happening? And all of a sudden you're deep, deep in the Kool-Aid. And here we are. Now I have a podcast.
And you have a podcast.
Growth. That's growth, people. That is growth.
I think that the fans who have been fans since day one, like mad, mad respect to them.
Shout out.
But there is something to be said for those of us who came in sometime in the middle or even now, and we still can relate to Taylor and we love Taylor. Our relationship is just, you know, a little shorter than yours, but we still love her. And the fact that you might have started out not liking her and came around to it, again, growth, okay? You got to keep an open mind. I hope that people don't keep the same opinions from when they were like 16 and carry them into their 30s. Like, allow room for opinions to change.
Right. Because, you know, not to give myself away, but I'm in my early, encroaching on mid-30s. So, you know, that's saying a lot. Actually, spoiler, I'm the same age as Taylor. So if you look at that, it's like when her and I were 15, we were not the same. We weren't the same for a long time, to be honest, but at least I got it together when I was, what, 24 is when she came out with 1989? Took me a while. A lot of growth happened between 15 and 24 for me.
Yeah, see, I'm 2 years younger than you and Taylor. I turned 22 and I had 22 to listen to.
Instead, I got 32. And I was like, yeah. Look, Taylor's out here saying the same thing, mouthing like 32. It's like same girl, same, you know? It's never too late. And guess what? When I turned 42... we're still rolling that train. It never dies. And I know she feels the
42.
Same way.
42.
You're like, once it gets past the one hand, you're like, I mean, if I'm vibing at 62, I guess I'm doing it all right.
The real question is, for how long of your life will "It feels like one of those nights, we won't be sleeping"? How much longer is that going to apply to you? Because for anyone who doesn't know, Ryan's sleep cycle is forever out of whack. For as long as I've known you, it's been out of whack. And I don't know if it'll ever correct itself.
I think when Taylor came out with Midnights, it was just validating that. And it was like, oh, we're going to be staying up late. And then you find out that this girl doesn't sleep either. And it made me feel validated. I don't produce nearly as much as she does. I'm just awake. You'd think I was a productive human because of it. I'm less productive. This night owl, struggling.
Meanwhile, I was like setting alarms for 11:55 so I could like take a nap and then wake up for whatever she was going to announce at midnight.
Now I'm like, I'm ready for it.
Second question. The first Taylor Swift song that you ever heard?
I don't know the first one I ever heard. It was probably Love Story. Like on the radio, everyone knew it. You know, I liked it. The first song that was part of the Now fandom was Shake It Off, because that was just all over the radio when she dropped 1989. And even then I was like, I'm not really feeling this song. This is not going to convert me. And then it was probably like, I don't know, like a few hours after hearing that over and over where it just sunk into my brain. And I was like, this is the best album. Her going pop was exactly what I needed to get on this train. Because I also, to be fair, I'm from Florida, and it's more country than you think. But I did not like the country vibes and did not listen to country at all.
We both grew up in country zones and tried to distance ourselves from it. So
yeah. So then she became pop and I was like, now you're talking. Mm-hmm. You're speaking my language. What about you?
I definitely remember hearing Teardrops on My Guitar, and I'm sure I heard Tim McGraw. I definitely heard debut songs, but again, the first one that I remember like trying to memorize the lyrics to and just loving was Love Story. And then You Belong With Me. I specifically remember with You Belong With Me, my tennis team was all in the car after practice, and one of the girls said, "Molly, have you heard this Taylor Swift song? Because You Belong With Me is kind of like you. Like, you're the person." I'm like, what? And so she put it on, and I'm like, couldn't more accurately describe how I felt in that time of my life. I had a crush on a guy. He was only seeing me as a friend, and she wore short skirts. I wear t-shirts. Like, I was a tomboy. I'm like, damn, how did this girl just write my life into a song?
That reminds me, it goes back further than I thought. Like, 1989 was when I fully converted myself. Again, I always liked her music. I just felt some type of way about her because nonsense. But when I was 19, where that lyric about sitting next to the water, I literally was dating a guy, and like that whole scene was like our relationship. And I remember being like, oh my God, like this is going to be us. Like, we're going to move in together. And like, yeah. So she was narrating my love stories even at that age. But again, I don't think I fully let it seep in, and it would like, the relevance was there, but then it would just go away, and I'd be like, oh, I don't like her. No.
Look at you, little sentimental, hopeless romantic.
Because we literally
over mine.
We literally were down by the water, like in Florida, bound by some sketchy canal late at night, and like think his arm was around me, and it was like, oh my God, that's where it all like transformed. You know, when it's like too close to home, you're like, yeah. I literally was down by the water.
You put your arm around me for the first time.
It's like, yeah, the kissing on the sidewalk thing. I mean, when it's like literal lyrics, you're just like, she is narrating my freaking life.
Yeah.
Kiss me.
I need to go make my husband sit with me by some water so that I can better relate to these lyrics.
What are you doing?
Come put your arm around me by the water. Look at me like it's the first time.
Oh my God. Just being kissed on the sidewalk, because that happened to me like a year ago. And I'm not going to lie, when I got kissed on the sidewalk, I was like, oh, I get it.
You took away my pain. Yeah, you started bonding to speak now like a lot, like a year ago.
I know. See, this is the beauty of not being an early OG Swiftie, is you're like, these re-releases to me have, some of these albums have been like for the first time of really listening to them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun. It's like, speak now as an adult. You're like, ooh. At first, okay, I couldn't relate because I'm in my 30s, but then you're like, I could find parts of this that mm-hmm. are relevant and will always be. Because love is love, no matter how old you are. Deep. All right. What is your favorite music video or song?
Music video? I had to think about this long and hard. I'm going with Look What You Made Me Do. What about you?
My favorite music video, even though it was impossible to choose, the first one that just kept popping in my head was Ready For It.
Ooh, good one. See, Look What You Made Me Do was really a turning point for me as a Swiftie, because as we discussed back when 1989 re-released, like 1989 was the first like full album front to back I was listening to of Taylor's, and I listened to it a lot. And then when Reputation came out, I was like, I'm in it now. Like, I was there for the clearing of the social media, deleting everything, and the snake popping up on the grid. And that was when I'm like, what is going on with this chick? And then the Look What You Made Me Do single being the lead one for Rep, and just the intensity in that whole music video of all so many Easter eggs, so many parallels. That's when I started like uncovering all this lore and realized that like I just really started going down the rabbit hole then, especially the end scene where it's like all of her personalities like in different eras of Taylor like fighting herself and stuff. And so then I had to go back and figure out where all of those like personas were coming from, and I learned more about her old stuff. And yeah, Look What You Made Me Do, just it's that girl, you know.
It could be my memory just misremembering, but it just feels like Rep was when she really started like diving into those Easter eggs and like they really came to life. Yeah, Look What You Made Me Do video, chaos, pure Easter eggs, was mm-hmm. the bejeweled of that time. And then yeah, Ready For It, it was just so well done. It's like you're watching a freaking movie and you're like, wow, these effects and this bionic woman and just like the hype. I mean, I love that we also both picked Rep songs. Shocking.
Of course.
Literally, I just let my memory do the work. And I was like, oh, this one literally popped in my head first. I was like, her as this, you know, yeah, like bionic woman. And the Rep videos were just so freaking good.
My honorable mention was going to be the Bad Blood music video, because that's just iconic.
Yeah, we love good cameos.
Yeah, good cameos. Got Kendrick.
And she went in on that album. Oh, that was 1989. See, I briefly thought it was Rep because it could be Rep in the sense of like, yeah, it could be on Rep.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Rep. Anyway.
Have you ever seen Taylor live?
Yes. I've seen her for 1989, Rep, and the Eras Tour.
I'm so jealous that you got to see 1989.
It's okay. At least you got Rep.
My first ever Taylor concert was Reputation at Gillette Stadium. And this is back when tickets were easier to get and much more affordable. So it was such an amazing night when we went the first night that we went back for another night. And I was like, we are in it now. My husband was the one who actually wanted to go back the second time. He's like, I just feel like there was so much and we couldn't absorb it all. And I'm like, don't twist my arm. Let's go again. And then, yes, the Eras Tour with you, obviously. But you got to see an epic 1989 concert the night that you went.
So it's like we talk about like the regrets of not being OGs for the sake of not being able to experience it. It's like, I wish I'd seen previous concerts, but I'm not mad about where I started. So like, yeah, I started in 1989 and it was just haphazard. Literally got resale tickets for $200. $200. Nice. And like, granted, they were nosebleeds, but again, that's unheard of these days. And it was just like, let's just go. And so flew down to Florida, did it with my ex. And that was the first time she introduced the bracelets. And I was like, this is it. It's like she said, though, it's like to be in the nosebleeds and to say, like, I see every one of you. It's like, I felt that.
You're like, you can see me.
I couldn't see her, but she could see me. I literally so many times was like, is that her? I have no idea. I can see nothing.
That snowman down there, is that her?
Yes, I was there for Halloween, which was also fun. So she was Olaf, which was a fun little like bonus. But that's back when like the screens weren't that intense. And like at the angle I was, I'd have to be like, yeah, that's her. Yeah, it was really rough. And so then Rep came, still affordable, still attainable. And I went, and then Molly and I ended up being at the same show for the second time she went.
Yeah.
Not sitting together. Also fun, like funny, like looking back, it's like, wow.
We literally didn't even drive together either. No. We were like, I was like, well, I'm going to be there really early. And you're like, I'm not. And I was like, all right, well, let me know how you think the show goes.
I'm not. I'm going to be dragging. So my ex went to the first show in a different state. I think we went to Jersey first. And then I was like, so I need to see her again. We need to do that again. And then I made him drive with me just in case I drank so I'd have a DD to get home. And
responsible.
Poor guy, came, didn't have tickets to go to the show. So he hung out in the Patriots place, whatever. And yeah, I had to deal with the hellish Boston traffic. It was a day.
Yeah, the traffic has not improved.
It is fun to look back on, though, because it's like you track all that and then it's like we both were at the Aerosword together. Now we have a podcast together. And it's like, wow, look at
this.
We
were going to go to Loverfest. Had that not been canceled, we would have gone to Loverfest together.
We did have tickets. Yeah.
That was truly how we had already bonded over Taylor and we like talked about Taylor a lot. But when the Loverfest got announced, we like locked ourselves in a room at work for like 12 literally hours to try to get those tickets.
Molly
and we were successful.
Yeah. Somehow we just knew. It's like, because for Reputation, I did the whole, you know, where you could like watch videos, do all these things to boost your ranking and all that chaos. And then Loverfest came and it was like, all right, this is for real. And there was like standings and all that stuff started to manifest. This is like pre-Eras tour when it got even worse. And I remember being like nervous, like, are we gonna vibe going to a show together? Because you just never know, too. Like, you don't know. Like, is this person going to be a vibe killer? Is this person gonna make you feel weird? I don't know. There's just all these thoughts I had. And then we just, it's a perfect match.
I think our vibes match each other perfectly. I'm very prepared. And, you know, you're like, ugh, I wish we had Ziploc bags to put these snacks in. I'm like, Ziploc bag.
I know. It
and then
very nice.
you bring the vibes, you know? Like,
true.
When we're in a stressful situation or, you know, like, you're just like, you know, life's not that serious, you know?
Be unprepared like me and it'll be fine. But yeah, it turns out we have like the same dance moves, which I always find really funny when we're just vibing to Taylor and I'm like looking over and I'm like, I don't know, like the whole vibe and energy is literally matched, which has been very fun because there's many different types of Swifties. You just never know, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I lose all like self-awareness and I don't care that people probably are looking at me like I'm insane. I'm just like, are you ready?
It becomes like my identity in that moment. I mean, as if it's not already, but I'm just like, this is when I fully get to let it all out, is when the music comes into play and it just like comes to me naturally. And you would think I never danced a day in my life, but it doesn't matter because I feel like a star every time.
And Ryan actually is a great dancer, but she joins me in the interpretive dance movements that
I know,
are
which is
corny.
Yeah. Which Taylor does too, as we've said. Taylor literally is that thing. She's like the most iconic performer ever, but then when she's on her off time, she's doing goofy stuff just like us. Get you a girl that can do both.
Yes.
I feel like we talked about this.
Yeah.
When did you become an official Swiftie?
Yeah, so I would say the 1989 era, I was like a Taylor Swift fan. And then when Reputation dropped, I was like, in it. Like, I'm a full-blown Swiftie now. I am in the trenches with the rest of them trying to figure out these Easter eggs and what's going on. And I have to get to this tour if my life depends on it.
Definitely 1989, the official Swiftiness began. It's also just like the time that I remember the most of literally the day of the album release is when I jumped on ship on the radio and all that. And it was like, it wouldn't stop. It was everywhere. And I was like, all right, what are they talking about? And then, you know, the album came out. I listened to it, blah, blah, blah. And then I think once I officially saw her for that tour, I was like, dang, I get it. It was just next level because I'm someone who loves music and I've been going to shows for like my, you know, as long as I was able to. And so it was like comparing her show to everyone else was like not even close. I was so blown away by the bracelets being like, this is crazy. No one's ever done this. And I was so ahead of her time. That was so long ago, 10 years ago. And
yeah, she like, just makes it feel so personal, even though it's a gigantic stadium.
And I remember going to Coachella last year and all of a sudden they introduced the bracelets. And I was like, what is this? Now Taylor is influencing this like most influential music fest ever. And now they're doing what she's doing. Iconic.
My favorite bracelet story is from seeing the Eras Tour movie in theaters. And I was trading friendship bracelets with these little Swifties. And I wore my light up bracelet from the Eras Tour to the movie. And they were like, oh, have you been to the Eras Tour? And I was like, yeah, I got to go. And they're like, did you get a presale code? It's just so
It's like, you don't have any internet clout or whatever. I don't know. Like, did your mom even let you go on to buy tickets? Probably not. It's like, tell your mom to stiff it up.
All right. What is your favorite live performance of Taylor's?
Okay. I'm throwing a, what's the sports term? Hail Mary. I don't know if that really counts.
Curveball?
Curveball?
I don't know. I don't know what you're about to say.
Sports. I would probably say, definitely, again, we're always going back to rep. Probably, well, how she started the rep tour with Ready For It, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Beyond. I mean, yeah. But then I would say second to that would be I Did Something Bad.
Ooh.
And I just miss it so much, and I think about it often because we haven't gotten it. Because, guys, it's coming for the... Has no one talking about the fact that she still hasn't freaking played the song in a year?
Man talk, then I owe him nothing.
She is holding that on. Mm. Yeah, I would say that. All right, what were you gonna say?
My initial take on this question was her live performances, like not concert related, but like other live performances. So I thought that you were gonna say the Grammys when she did Cardigan, August, and Willow, because that was great.
I would probably still say I Did Something Bad.
Oh, it was the AMAs, American Music Awards. Yeah.
Yes, that was iconic.
Mine, I wrote for best live performance, thinking non-tour related, is Out of the Woods at the Grammys in 2016 with Jack. It's so great. I love it. And then as a side note, I wrote, but also the entire rep tour.
I know. It's like, oh, this song, but then that song, and then oh, just the whole tour.
King of My Heart, especially. I loved the live version of that with the big drums. And then Should Have Said No, Bad Blood combo when she's floating in the snake. And then she like lands on the stage and the dancers are like being dropped down on like, it was just freaking crazy. And the band is like up there with her like, Should Have Said No. Bad Blood. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. It's something we'll never get back. And it's funny because like I remember like we both were lucky enough to go to two shows from that tour, which I'm so glad we just bit the bullet and just did it, because it's like you don't realize, you know, it's like this is it. I think about that about the Eras tour constantly. I'm like, this is it. Like once it's done, well, we keep saying that, then it's like 20 years from now it's still going on, but it's like this is will eventually be it. It's like, dang.
Yeah, like Cruel Summer live. I hope that in the future she tours that song again. But there are just so many amazing songs from Folklore, Evermore, Lover, Midnights, and then now Tortured Poets that like we'll never probably get again outside of the Eras tour, because no one can keep up with Blondie, like even herself. She's going to have like 4 new albums by the time she tours again, that it's not the Eras tour.
As we know, the Eras tour, one of the thousands of great things about it is that it brings back those songs we probably thought we would never hear live again, and mm-hmm. brings them back to life, and that's what's so amazing.
Yeah.
What's the song that you would most want to hear live?
Okay, so this ties into our story about Loverfest being canceled. The songs that I was dying for live for so long were Death by a Thousand Cuts or Cornelia Street. Once I heard that Lover live from Paris, I was like, I need to be in the crowd when she sings this. Now with Midnights, my top would be Woulda, Coulda, Should've. It's my Swiftie national anthem. I feel that song in my core. And then from Folklore, it'd be Exile.
Dang. I said Afterglow. Still an Afterglow stan. I feel like that's such a deep cut that, I don't know, isn't talked about enough.
Yeah.
She's played that as a surprise song.
She has.
She has, yeah. One time. Mm-hmm. One little time. I feel like it just like came out in the Lover and then just like dissipated. And I don't know. That song hit so freaking hard. Afterglow. And then after that, I would say Exile as well.
Yeah.
That's what I had, because, oh, my God. But I'm going to be selfish and say we haven't gotten an Exile Bon Iver version. So I'm going to take it next level, because where the heck is that version? And is it going to happen?
She did perform it with him at a Bon Iver show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like that counts. No. I think he has to come to the
airport. Where is he at? I know someone's stalking his schedule. Where the heck is he at? Because that is, yeah. She hasn't brought anyone out in a minute. It's been very solo.
Well, she's been in other countries, so I just feel like it's harder to coordinate.
True. Yeah.
I think Europe will be more opportunity for cameos, like Ed Sheeran and, you know,
I miss
like
the cameos, but, you know, we're just insatiable. So it's like.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we got Sabrina Carpenter singing White Horse.
I know.
Which was great.
And now she's done and I'm sad.
I know. But we got Paramore coming up. All right. Have you ever met Taylor Swift?
No. I laugh because it's like, I feel like that would be my whole identity. No. And at this point, I don't think it's going to happen. And I'm okay with that because, not to jump ahead of the next question, but I guess we could lump it in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because if I did meet her, I would have no words. I would have no formulated. I don't even know. I would be a mess on the floor and I'd probably be crying and she'd be like, cool. And I would just blend in with the millions of other people she's met. What I would want to be is the cool girl who's like, oh my God, here's this like off the cuff niche reference thing. And she'd be like, dang. And we would bond over it. That would never happen. So I've met artists in the past who were not even close to Taylor and it was just a mess. So, yeah, I'm good. I thought I would get picked for a secret session. What was it, rep? Yeah, I was like sipping the Kool-Aid, sending stuff to Taylor Nation, trying to get noticed. And then I kind of just gave up on it and I'm okay with it. What about you?
Not met Taylor, only in my dreams. I would love to meet her someday, obviously. If I ever met her, what would I say? I think that you and I have actually both been pretty lucky in our careers, like that we've met certain athletes. We both used to work in sports. That's how we met. And so I am like the ultimate fangirl, right? But I can compose myself in those moments. Like when I've had to for work and I've met some celebrities or athletes that I was definitely a fan of, I've been able to hold it together. So I would like to channel that energy. I think she's on a different plane, so I don't know that I'd be able to do it. But if I could hold my shit together and not like burst out into tears, I would just say thank you. Like, thanks for everything. Thanks for sharing your gift. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing your gift with us. Thanks for like always giving us something to look forward to. Thanks for like helping me find some of my best friends. Like,
thanks for being my therapist.
Yeah. Thanks for making your work a chronological order of your life so that we could live vicariously through you and experience all of your feelings. Thanks for making all of your feelings universal. I don't know. I would just, yeah. She'd already be on to the next person by now. So
like, girl, okay. I don't know though. I just had the flashback. I'm like, wait, as someone who was with you when we both met Griff together, mm-hmm. I mean, we were both pretty starstruck. You didn't really say anything. Because we had the same thing. We were like, what are okay. we saying?
Oh my God. We're being a little creepy. That's how I felt about it.
Not to diminish Griff, because Griff is iconic, but that's the point. Is like I think about all the times I've met celebrities and I'm like, no, you failed that. We met her and it was amazing and it the coolest thing, but it was just like we were like, what do we do? What do we say? How do we connect? And yeah, I'm pretty sure we said nothing. We were just like, you're great. Take a picture with me. You're amazing.
Well, we could also tell she was in a rush. We were like, Griff, oh my gosh, like, can we get a picture? And she was like, yeah, really quick, guys. And we're like, okay.
I love you. I know you've heard that so many times.
She sang All Too Well with us that night. Incredible.
Still top highlight of my, highlight of my 30s. So.
All right. Well, this was us answering the questions from Ellie, All Too Swift on YouTube. Thanks for shouting us out, Ellie, and asking us these questions. Please put your answers to these questions in the comments. We want to know what you love about Taylor. If you've seen her live, if you've met her, did you say something amazing when you met her? If you did, or did your mind go blank and did you fall on the floor?
Did you go to a secret session? Because that's what my gosh. Did you go to her house? Anyone out there, please.
Tell us what you know.
Granted, I feel like in that case, you'd have some time to build up to be like, all right, I'm here. Chill out. Okay, she's been sitting in front of you for a while now. Chill the F out.
Maybe. I don't know. From what I've read, when those happen, you get kind of like not abducted, but like you don't know what's going on. They're like, show up in this place, make sure you have a consenting adult if you weren't 18 that like has signed off on this. And then you like get put in a van and like driven in secret to, because they don't want people to know where yeah. she lives.
But you have so, time to like, she's showing you the album and you're like, all right, by right. your song, you're like, just calm down, she's just a person. And I envy that like lengthy, I mean obviously for many reasons, but I envy that I could actually probably be chill by the time we have our one-on-one photo. I'm like all right, I've been staring at you from afar in the last 2 hours and I've come to I've chilled out, I'm good.
Yeah, there are so many cool pictures from the secret sessions that I'm like, how did you think of something chill to do?
You gotta, I mean that's the whole thing, you gotta be cool.
I'd screw it up and I'd end up being like
I was just thinking like, oh, what's unique? I'd be like, do the sign for snake, and she'd be like, oh my god, you know ASL? And I'd be like, yes. And I'd be like, how does this translate in a photo? It's not a video, so this would be us. Whatever.
No, we cool. manifest. This will happen in the future someday after you have your snake trash can tattoo, and then we can show her that.
Right.
And you're like, what the hell is this? And you're like, the trash takes itself out every time.
If you know, you know. Hashtag IY or whatever, KNK. Yep. It's still on my list. I have not forgotten.
All right. Everyone manifest this, that Ryan gets to meet Taylor in like 3 years after she has that tattoo and gets to just have that moment. We need that to happen.
Yeah, having a tattoo is an easy flex to be like, what do I do? Look at this. This is you. This is for you.
This little trash can, this is you.
You don't have any tattoos that we know about, but this is for you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Hits Different, a Taylor Swift podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a like, follow, subscribe, rate, or review wherever you are listening to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X @ItHitsDiffPod. Bye.